D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingen, Willie Donick, Connor Newt, and David Janes here with you. We are live at 5 Iron Golf in Midtown, 202 21st Avenue South in Nashville, Tennessee. Of course, come join us. We're here until the top of the hour. We've got gift cards to give away. We've got a free two hours of golf and a Trackman golf simulator to give away. That's a $180 value. So if you want to partake in any of that, come join us here at 202 21st Avenue South. Get a raffle ticket, and you will have a chance to win. We will be joined momentarily by Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman. We were joined yesterday by Elliot Freeman's old co-host on 32 Thoughts, the podcast, Jeff Marek, one of my favorites. A really good conversation, Willie, with Jeff on the state of the Predators GM search and more.
Oh, no question. And I liked in particular for his perspective firsthand on Brady Martin. We've been talking about him a lot because he's such a critical piece as we discuss how you get the franchise from where it is now back to true contending. Do you have to go backwards to get there, or can somebody like a Brady Martin be an accelerator to help the process that they've been working on here?
Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman. Elliot, how are you? How was your vacation?
Vacation was great. Thank you, guys. Do you know that person who is immediately on the phone when you land a plane and everybody else just glares at them and stares at them? I'm that guy right now. So I hope this is good.
I was that guy earlier today, Elliot. Hopefully make you feel better. My daughter called when we landed from Salt Lake, and I may or may not have had the noise cancellation in my headphones, which made me talk louder to everybody around me, and so I probably got a few stares.
Really, I bet you it's not the first time.
You're right, it's not the first time.
Well, Elliot, we appreciate you doing this under those circumstances. So you reported last weekend on Hockey Night in Canada that the Predators reached out to the Hurricanes about interviewing their GM, Eric Tulsky, but were denied, which I found fascinating. What more can you tell us about that? And does the fact that they attempted to interview the most data-centric GM in the league tell us anything about their intentions in hiring a GM?
You know, I think that to me what it says, Adam, is that we're kind of going through a phase right now. Like this, you know, Toronto talked about, you know, a data-ready GM too. You know, one of the things I really believe is these teams become worth more and more. And, you know, a lot of these franchises are approaching the $2 billion mark if they're not there already. That these owners, the days of them being completely hands-off owners are over. They want to have a say, and they want to talk to people who can speak to them in their language. And, you know, I still think we're still relatively new in the data era in the NHL. The teams do always say to me, be careful what you use publicly because we have more available to us privately than we let on. But they do, you know, I think to want to do this job now, Adam, you have to speak to these owners in the language they understand. And I would say that in a lot of Bill Haslam's businesses, he probably uses data. He gets things explained to him in a way that, like any decision that he makes, you have to be able to provide him evidence it's going to work. Like I work, the company that owns Sportsnet is a big phone telecom, big one. One of the biggest in Canada, one of the two biggest in Canada. And they're willing to spend money. Like they own the Blue Jays too. They just spent $500 million on Vladimir Guerrero. And we just spent $11 billion on the NHL TV deal. And it's a lot of money. And they'll do it. But you have to explain it to them in ways that make sense. And I think, you know, Bill Haslam's probably similar to that too. And Eric Tulsky, who's the GM of the Hurricanes, he speaks to people in that language. Now, I think you have to be good at other things. I think you have to have a good eye. I think you have to be willing to grind. But, you know, I think what it says to me is Eric Tulsky speaks to owners in a language that they understand, and his team is consistently good. And I think I'm not surprised they would ask. I'm also not surprised, Adam, that when he said no or they said no, that they pivoted, and one of the people they interviewed was one of his lieutenants.
Elliot, you have mentioned former Arizona Coyotes GM John Chayka either was or is in the mix for the Predators opening. I remember his exit from Arizona being a little messy. I don't recall all the details. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he hasn't been in the league since his departure from Arizona. So what has he been up to, and what is his reputation around the league at this point?
Lots of good questions there. A couple of things for me to unpack. First of all, Chayka, when he was in Arizona, New Jersey had the opening, and they wanted the Devils owners have some connection to him. They liked him. They asked for permission to interview him. The Coyotes said no. It got a little bit messy. But also, under Chayka, the Coyotes were investigated for testing draft prospects outside of the allowed times. And they were found guilty of that, and he was suspended for that. And that was the last time he was the GM. Now, I understand that Chayka is now in good standing. There would be nothing preventing him from getting hired. I don't know where he stands in the current search. I know that the Devils have had some interest in him, and the Leafs have had some interest in him. He's another guy who really understands data and how to do it. As for what he's been doing, Chayka has a lot of other interests. And, for example, it sounds kind of funny, but it's true. He owns a bunch of Wendy's. And do you guys have Wendy's in Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure. It's like he owns like 15 of them. And he's done very well in business and other ways. He's had some other sports interests. I don't want to exactly say what they were because I don't want to get them wrong, but he's kind of had other interests. And I think he's always thought about getting back. I think when you go through something like that, you're kind of waiting for the right time maybe to come back and have a second act. And I believe he's had some interest. And I think there's some teams who've had some interest in him. I just don't know if now is going to be the right time.
Elliot Freeman is with us. Elliot, the Colorado Avalanche have clinched the President's Trophy. And if the Predators make the playoffs, they will face the Colorado Avalanche in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. As you know, it's been quite a while since the President's Trophy winner has won the Stanley Cup. As you look at this Avalanche team, do you think they are in any way gettable? Not necessarily by the Predators, but by any team they could face in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, you know what? I think you mentioned the key there, is that nobody does it anymore. Now, it doesn't mean it's impossible. I would never count them out. I would never count out a team with Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. They're a heck of a team. I think that a couple of things. Number one, does your goaltending hold up? We've seen a lot of situations in this league where, especially in a seven-game series, you get goals where some goalie decides he's going to, and Saros has it in him, where he stands on his head and he wins a series for a team. Number two is health. Makar, they don't seem to be too worried about it. I think he's going to play pretty soon, but he is hurt right now. You lose somebody big, and all of a sudden, you got a big hole that you can't overcome. And I would say the other thing, too, is, Martin Natchez has been a great fit for them. They traded Rantanen, they got Natchez. He's turned out to be a heck of a player, but now it's his time to kind of take the next jump in the postseason. I think Natchez is going to be a big key for them.
albeit it was not a really good period for the Predators when he was on with Chris Mason and I. I think the Predators got outscored 2-0 by that Montreal team that's setting the world on fire right now. But great
some
interview that Kyle
changed,
did with,
Willie,
with Ryan.
When, when Ryan's on the ice, the Predators I know. Get outscored 2-0. Yeah.
Kyle don't didn't rip him about that. He had a yeah. wide open. Yeah. But one thing you mentioned that caught my attention was the GM talks you've had with these openings, and you've had some real interesting philosophical discussions, especially yeah. with the Toronto job open, about the specialization, the departmentalizing, I guess, of the assistant GMs and how that sort of changed your day-to-day duties. And maybe yeah. made it harder for somebody to look like a clear-cut GM candidate.
Yeah, so what I was referring to there, and I think some of that is happening in your own process in Nashville, guys, is that, you know, Keith Kelly in Toronto, he made the comment that we have like six associate general managers. I think that's about the number. But it used to be that maybe the team had one, two. Now, three, five, six, I guess it's kind of become normal. And what that means is you have one assistant general manager who's maybe in charge of college scouting. And you get another assistant general manager who's in charge of maybe pro scouting. And another assistant general manager who's in charge of data. And you get another assistant general manager who's in charge of contract negotiation. And you know, as a team, you might say, oh, that's great. We specialize. We really like that. But I think what I've heard in some of these situations, it used to be that when you interviewed a guy who was assistant general manager somewhere else, you interviewed a person who was responsible for all of that. Like they dabbled. You know, maybe they did a few contract negotiations. Maybe they did some scouting. You know, data is a relatively new thing, but, you know, they had multiple, maybe they ran your American Hockey League team. Now you get someone who does maybe one of those things. And I've just heard, I heard from that owner, and it was funny, Willie, I heard from another owner today after I said it, and they said, whoever told you that has been talking to a few of us, because now you're meeting people with maybe an expertise in one or two of those things. And I've heard that in your search, which I believe is continuing, I haven't found out who, but I'm under the impression that you guys are going to do some more interviews. But I have heard that in your situation, one of the things that you guys have run into is you've met some pretty impressive people who don't have expertise across all of those areas. And I think this is such a big hire for you guys that one of your concerns is you'd like to meet a few more people who have more of a spectrum of responsibilities. And I don't think you are the only team running into this. I think there's a few teams running into this who are saying, we've got people who are really bright, but they haven't, maybe they don't negotiate contracts yet, or maybe they don't do a lot of scouting yet. And, you know, the one thing I would say is that if I was a candidate, I would ask to do different things. Maybe not overstep my bounds, but could I sit in on a negotiation? Could, if I wasn't like a scout, could I go on scouting trips just to see what it's like? Like, I think you have to have an understanding of how all this stuff works and an understanding of how people that you're going to be under your employ do their jobs. And I have heard you guys have kind of looked at that and said, we'd like to speak to more people who have more responsibility, and I don't think you're the only team that is thinking that way.
Elliot, you guys talked a lot about the Mammoth last night. I think they're a really interesting team, especially as you pointed out, the draw that they're going to get as they solidify this top wild card spot. They're going to get the winner of the Pacific. I don't know what the odds makers would say, but I would think it's at least a toss-up. The only thing they lack is really, I guess, the winning experience on their roster. But man, they look really sharp right now.
Sorry, who are you talking about there, Willie? Cut out for a sec.
The Mammoth.
The Mammoth.
Utah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, sorry about that. You cut out for a sec. I'm just getting out of the airport here, so I missed you that. I really like the way they play, really. I don't know about you. I mean, you see every team. You've called some really exciting games, and you've called some really boring games, I'll bet. I find that a lot of their games are pretty exciting. I really like watching them. I like the way they go up and down the ice. They've got a lot of talent. They play to that strength. It'll be interesting because I agree with you. Like, the teams at the top of the Pacific, they don't terrify you. And Edmonton's got kind of the self-control here. Edmonton's got the path where they control it, and I assume they're going to win it, or Vegas over the Ducks. I don't know that the Ducks pull this off, but I think they'll be able to give anybody a challenge. Now, I'll say this, Edmonton, Utah, those games might end like 8-7, and I'll take those in a playoff series.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, has been our guest on D-Mate. Vin Gnadonic, he joins us every week and is sponsored by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, thank you for doing this under those circumstances. I know how awkward it can be talking on the phone at an airport, but that's why you're the best in the business.
We've all been there.
And we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
615-737-1025. That is
I was
always
picturing Elliot getting whatever bag he had in the overhead,
yes,
saying goodbye to the flight attendants, going down the hallway, yes, making his way through. That was definitely happening in real time.
Yes, but Elliot is a pro. He does it all the time, and that's why he is the best in the business.
It's funny. If you listen to his podcast, he oftentimes gets into that spot where he's like in a, you know, in the airport waiting to get on a plane, or he's in a hotel room. He said he's had to get up in the middle of the night and be in his shower so he doesn't wake his family up, yeah, for a scoop that's going on. So there's always these things that happen. But I would say if you have been a follower of the Predators for a long time, listen to the interview with Ryan Johansson. He actually gets into the arbitration weird thing that happened at the end of his career when he got sent to the minors and there was a dispute over his last year of the contract. And fortunately for him, that's all behind him now, and he can now come out and enjoy. He's happily living in Nashville. I think Ryan Johansson is going to be a personality that is going to be around the team in the coming years in some form, as, if nothing else, an ambassador, an alumni that is going to be a fun guy to have around.
615-737-1025. We're off the air a little bit early today because of Vanderbilt baseball, so we'll wrap up the show coming up next. I do believe we have to crown Willie Donick. We'll explain coming up
next. You want to crown him?
We're about to crown you, I think. 615-737-1025. Adam Vingy, Willie Donick, Connor Newt, 1025 The Game.